If you got time to listen to a little bit of the scripture tonight,
amen.
This morning we let you off and didn't try to do anything. And tonight, I know you're probably tired. You would like to, you know, get evangelistic. And I know that tonight that I wouldn't hardly get started before somebody be tired and want to go home. But I'm going to do something tonight that's going to help me on my part. I'll do something that'll help me on my part tonight. Be a good night to teach because tornado warnings are out till 1 o'clock. That'll help me on my part, won't it? I thought that would help. So, I noticed all of a sudden Summit was hoping we'd have a short sermon and not too worried about it anymore. So, I would love to just talk with you some and just see if the Lord will share a few things with us tonight. I had a man the other day, Brother Grady was telling me about today. I was trying to explain a few things and, you know, preaching, and he didn't even know what I said from what I gathered, but he went off and told somebody that he wouldn't have that. He wasn't never going to listen no more. And of course now they got him in the hospital. He just had a heart attack. And it's a good possibility, unless God undertakes, he won't never listen no more. But it really don't pay to be too hasty about forming an opinion about something, because it could be God. And of course if it's God, then it's better that you know that you not say anything at all. If you don't understand, it would be so much better if you just wouldn't say anything at all. We've been teaching for a long time from the book of Revelation, and since the tornado warnings are out and most of the people prefer to stay here, some of them I know won't leave the sanctuary until after 1 o'clock because they usually don't. And if you've been in a few tornadoes, you want to try to get in the safest place that you can get. Not that God could knock this place down. He could treat it like it was a toothpick. But it is a good place to gather together to talk with God and ask God to have mercy and help us. My little Gracie had a vision. She was laying on the bed and she said she had a vision. And she said, Mama said, I saw a tornado. And said the tornado was just spitting fire everywhere. So it might be that her vision is coming to pass. Look like the Lord has his hands on all of my children. And they start seeing visions and things sometime when they're little bitty fellas. I remember Dale telling me how that the Lord spoke to her when she was a little old bitty girl. And it really shook her up. She declares today that it really happened. Let's go back over, if you've got your Bibles, let's go over to the 10th chapter. The reason we refer back to this so much is because it's a changing place. In the 10th chapter, there's a changeover. The changeover comes. Revelation 10 denotes a change. It's a changeover place. And because of this, I revert back to it a lot. It's at a real time of crisis that Revelation 10 comes in. Now, some of you that are not familiar with it, maybe you don't understand, but at Revelation 10, when this mighty angel comes down from heaven, bringing this little book, it's at this point that there is a change, for prior to his coming, the locusts have been loosed from the bottomless pit. And all of the plagues have been poured out in the sense of the loosening of the seals. And it's in the seventh seal that this great angel comes. Now, a lot of people say that that angel was Brother Branham. Whether it was Brother Branham or whether it was not Brother Branham, There's one thing for sure, that he came after that these great plagues had been turned loose on the earth. And with the coming of that angel, it was at that point or that time that God completely cut the Gentiles off and went to the Jews. I'm going to read just a little scripture and talk with you and try to take my time. Notice this now in the seventh seal of the eighth chapter, there's silence in heaven for a half an hour. And during this period of time, the seven trumpets was given. If you've got your Bibles, you can notice that. The seven trumpets was given to the seven angels that stood before the throne. Now, one thing I would like for you to notice tonight while I'm talking to you, and I'd like for you to be as spiritual as you can, because in your congregation it's always the same. You have people who are not interested in God nor spiritual things, and they don't come to church for that purpose. They go to church all the time. Their background is religion. They're brought up in religion, and they don't care nothing about religion. Now, if you ask them if they wanted to go to heaven, they'd tell you yes. If you ask them if they were trying to go to heaven, they'd say yes. And they go to church to go to heaven, all those things. But they don't have any interest at all in the things of God. You can get up to preach, and when you catch their spirit, the first thing you see is that they don't have any spiritual hunger, any spiritual depth, any spiritual desire, because you don't make any contact. You've heard me make this statement. See, it's just like if you took a magnet, the Word of God is a great spiritual magnet. And when you start talking and you get in the anointing, it's not you that speak, but it's that great spiritual magnet that it's expressing itself. When it moves over the congregation, it makes contact. And if you're in the anointing, you can tell every person it makes contact with. And if it don't make contact, that means that it's not there. Like when my granddaddy was dying, just before his death, he said he laying there one night and he was just ready to go out of this world. He'd been called to preach his lifetime, hadn't preached. And that night, just before his death, he said that all of a sudden somebody come through the window and said this person come into the room where he was at, and said it went all through the room and went like it was looking under the pillars and under the mattresses and under the bed and in the corners and everywhere. And said it just looked like it was going everywhere, looking through everything. And said finally it done like that and said it just ain't here. And said he went back out the window. And after that, my granddaddy died. Now, that's the way it is with the great spiritual magnet of God. It moves over you. And if it moves over you, then if it just isn't there, then it'll move on. But if that elect seed is in you, if you really are an elect of God, there'll be such a thirst, such a hunger, such a desire for the things of God and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ that you're commanded to grow in. And it'll make that divine contact as it moves over you. And as it moves over you, there'll be a respond, a great respond. And you'll just get engrossed in the things of God. Now, I want to read just a little scripture to you. And I want you to listen real good. And I'll try to explain a few little things as I go along. God has given me great and mighty things. And I want so much to express them to the people. And I have tried to express some of them to the people and gotten some of them over to the people. So many wonderful things I've never been able to get over to the people, because it's not because God hasn't given them to me, but Paul said one time that the people was not spiritual. Said, I would that you be spiritual, but said you're carnal. Said there's strife, envy, malice, all these things among you. And it's hard to find people spiritual. Jesus said, I've got many things to say unto you, but you're dull of hearing. And so it is, having ears we hear not, having eyes we see not. That is, we can't hear what the Spirit says to the church, and we can't see through the eyes of our understanding to the extent that they be enlightened in the things of God. And we just about have to have a tornado warning to get anybody's attention or to get them to stay long enough to get ready to meet God. The flesh is so out from under subjection until you just can't hardly do anything with it anymore. Tornadoes are a blessing sometimes, looks like. So then, it's hard to find the vocabulary expression that will come from my lips to your listening ears in a means of indoctrination whereby you might be enlightened unto the truth and understand, as the Bible said, the things of God comprehending the heights, the depths, and the width. And so many times I've made this statement. Our ministry has been so shattered till all they've done is preach repentance. And as a matter of fact, the man that got upset the other day was done got up in age and was a gray-haired man, been in religion practically all of his life. And one of the things he got upset about was because I didn't preach repentance. That's the way he understood it. But did you know the Bible tells us, it said, therefore leaving the foundation of repentance. We're not supposed to preach repentance over and over. Repentance belongs to the man who's never repented. If you've ever repented, you're not supposed to be repenting over and over and over. Paul said that's laying the foundation of religion over and over. But the Bible said, let us go on unto perfection. For when you receive the Holy Ghost, He will guide you into all truth and righteousness. There's a lot of truth that you need to know. There's a lot of righteousness that you need to perfect in your life. And the Bible said, let us go on to these things and grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus, into the stature and the fullness of the perfect man. Now, our ministry is so shattered that because they don't spend any time with God, they don't have a message, they don't get away in solitude, they have to convince the people that the whole thing of God is nothing more than a shout and having a good time and feeling the Spirit and praying for the sick. And they've done a pretty good job of convincing them. And therefore, we got a whole world full of spiritual babies when we ought to be men. Paul said, whereas you ought to be men, you're still children. And as long as you're children, he said, you differ nothing. See, from a servant, for you're under tutors until the time appointed of the Father. Now you say, what is the time appointed of the Father? Whenever we come into sonship, that's the time appointed of the Father. I say this, I've said it before, and I want to say it again tonight. The old Jewish customs were that at a certain time in a boy's life, that they would take that boy, and even though he was already a son, yet they would set him before the elders out in the public, have a public adoption, and he would publicly be adopted into the family. And from that time, he was considered a son. Now, he'd always been a son. But from that time, he was eligible for his inheritance, like the prodigal son who took his and went away and wasted it with riotous living. But from that time, he is eligible for an inheritance. And he can take over the father's business. The servants have to listen at him if he tells them anything. And it's the same way with you and I. We jump up and we say, we're going to cast the devil out. And before it's over, the devil's done cast us out. We say we're going to bind the devil. Before it's over, the devil's done bound us. And what he is, we've never grown into sonship. We don't really believe what we're saying. But there is a place in God to where you actually can cast out a devil. Like somebody had a vision the other night, I don't know who it was, said that me and him had cast a devil out of some woman here. You actually can cast out devils, and you actually can do a work for God. Somebody said, well, if you fast and pray. No, that ain't going to do it. I know fasting and praying good, but fasting and praying, that ain't going to cast the devil out. If you can cast out devils fasting and praying, then Elijah Mohammedan, it went about 90 days, he ought to be casting out by the bushels. That ain't got nothing to do with it. You fast and pray to get power with God to come into the knowledge of the Word. Faith comes by the hearing of the Word. When you hear the Word and know the promises of God and learn your benefits in God and your rights in God, then you can fast and pray and make it effective. But if you don't know your rights in God, fasting and praying ain't worth the time you take to do it. Faith is by the hearing of the Word. All right, now, the public adoption comes, and because of that, then we become sons. But until the time appointed of the Father, we differ nothing from a child. Though we be Lord of all, yet we can't use any of the benefits. Is that right?
Amen.
I want to read just a little bit and the dimensional depths of what God gives me to tell you will depend entirely on your thirst and hunger. It is not me that's speaking, but the Father. When I get into the anointing, whether you believe it or not, it is absolutely Jehovah God speaking. Now, judgment begins at the house of God. He remits men's sins. He binds men's sins according to their faith and what He tells them from within His temple. We come here because this is the temple where we gather. But this is not God's temple. This is God's temple. And God is going to speak to you from within His temple. Now, I want to read to you, and I'd like for you to consider the things that I say, and I believe that I can help you a little. I think I'll read from the 8th chapter of the book of Revelation and make reference to the 10th chapter. And when he had opened the 7th seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of half an hour. And I saw the 7 angels which stood before God, and to them were given 7 trumpets, and another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer. And there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar, which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense, which came with the prayers of the saints, ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. And the angel took the censer and filled it with fire of the altar and cast it into the earth. And there were voices and thunderings and lightnings and an earthquake. And the 7 angels which had the 7 trumpets prepared themselves to sound. The first angel sounded, and there followed hail and fire mingled with blood. And they were cast upon the earth, and the third part of trees was burnt up, and all green grass was burnt up. And the second angel sounded, and as it were a great mountain burning with fire was cast into the sea. And the third part of the sea became blood. And the third part of the creatures which were in the sea and had life died. And the third part of the ships were destroyed. And the third angel sounded, and there fell a great star from heaven, burning as it were a lamp. And it fell upon the third part of the rivers and upon the fountains of waters. And the name of the star is called Wormwood. And the third part of the waters became wormwood. And many men died of the waters because they were made bitter. And the fourth angel sounded, and the third part of the sun was smitten, and the third part of the moon, and the third part of the stars. So as the third part of them was darkened, and the day shone not for a third part of it, and the night likewise. And I beheld and heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth by reason of the other voices of the trumpet of the 3 angels which are yet to sound. And the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth, and to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. And he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit as the smoke of a great furnace. And the sun and the air was darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. And there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth, and unto them was given power, as the scorpions of the earth have power. And it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads. And to them it was given that they should not kill them, but that they should be tormented 5 months. And their torment was as the torment of a scorpion when he striketh a man. And in those days shall men seek death, and shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. And the shapes of the locusts were like unto horses prepared unto battle. And on their heads were as it were crowns like gold, and their faces were as the faces of men, and they had hair as the hair of women. And their teeth was as the teeth of lions. And they had breastplates, as it were breastplates of iron. And the sound of their wings was as the sound of chariots of many horses running to battle. And they had tails like unto scorpions. And there were stings in their tails, and their power was to hurt men 5 months. And they had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon, but in the Greek tongue has his name Apollyon. One woe is past, and behold, there come two woes more hereafter. And the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God, saying to the sixth angel, which had the trumpet, loose the four angels which are bound in the great river Euphrates. And the four angels were loosed, which were prepared for an hour and a day and a month and a year, for to slay the third part of men. And the number of the army of the horsemen were 200,000,000. And I heard the number of them, and thus I saw the horses in the vision. And them that sat on them having breastplates of fire and jacinth and brimstone, and the heads of the horses were as the heads of lions, and out of their mouth issued fire and smoke and brimstone. By these three was the third part of men killed, by the fire and by the smoke and by the brimstone which issued out of their mouths. For their power is in their mouth and in their tails, for their tails were like unto serpents and had heads, and with them they do hurt. And the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues yet repented not of the works of their hands, that they should not worship devils and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and of wood, which neither can see nor hear nor walk. Neither repented they of their murders, nor of their sorcerers, nor of their fornication, nor of their thefts. All right? Now, if you'll notice, the Bible said that the sixth angel sounded. After that the sixth angel sounded, then the Bible tells us that there was one more angel to sound. And with the sounding of this angel, which was to be the seventh angel, that the last one of the three woes was to take place. All right? Giving reference back to the board now. Giving reference back to the board. Here you see these things drawn out. Over here, Brother Taylor has the little angel drawn here of Revelation 10, a rainbow about his head. Give you a rundown to refresh his course, the seal, the seven seals, the seven trumpets, the seven church ages, Calvary here, the angel, the seven thunders, the seven vials, Satan being cast out of heaven. Alright, there's a lot of things that's caught within this board. Noticing that in the eighth chapter, it is in the eighth chapter of the book of Revelation that the Bible
heaven. And at the time of this 30 minutes of silence that we find in heaven, I want you to notice something. It is at this point that God seals the Jews. The 144,000 is sealed. Because it is at this time that the seven angels come boldly before the throne of God with their seven trumpets to sound, that the seven plagues of God might be poured out of the earth. Following these seven trumpets was to come the seven vials. In between them were the seven thunders. God being a spirit set before the throne, there's seven spirits. Everything in the book of Revelation seems to terminate with a seven. God creates in 6 days, he rests on the seventh, he uses 6,000 years, and then he brings in the seventh, which is the millennium, another 1,000 years. And it appears that everything he does is in the terms of seven because it pertains to our Lord Jesus. God, who is a spirit, does not number himself with the sevens, but Jesus is numbered with the sevens. Man is numbered with the number six, but the Jews, which has to do with Jesus, they come in the end time with the number seven. The number eight brings in a new day, which is after the 7,000 years, which is the celestial earth, which brings God the eternal spirit in the Ancient of Days, because his number runs in the terms of eight. The Jews' number with judgment runs in the terms of four. But the completion of that runs in the terms of sevens, whereas the church runs in the terms of eight, in that it is a resurrectional thing, the day after the Sabbath, the morrow after the Sabbath, as it is referred to, which means the morrow after the Sabbath means the eighth day, which to us means that 7,000 years goes by, and then comes the celestial, the new Jerusalem, which is the morrow after the millennium, God's Sabbath, in which he rests from all his labor. Alright? Now, in the teaching of these, I'd like for you to notice something. It's in the 8th chapter that at the time that these angels come, there is 30 minutes of silence in heaven, which we believe is the time when the Lord takes the blood off of the mercy seat. And the Gentiles are then cut off. And at the time of the cutting off of the Gentiles, it's at that particular time that the wrath of God comes into the earth. Now, I'd like you to notice that. You might doubt that, but I want you to notice something now. You'll notice you can't find any place at all where the wrath of God is poured out in the earth until after that the angels come before the throne with their seven trumpets. It's at this time, just before the seven angels sound, that another angel walks up to the throne and up to the little golden altar, which has much to be said concerning Revelation. He takes a censer. He fills the censer up with fire. Takes that censer and he slams it down into the earth. Now remember that John is in heaven. He's seeing these things in heaven. But the Bible said when the angel took the censer, he's going to throw it down here where me and you are at, Monroe, Georgia, around across the earth. You understand? He took the censer and he slung it down to the earth. Is that right? When he slung it down to the earth, the Bible said there was thunderings, there was hail, mingled with fire, there was earthquakes. See, to me, what it means is that God is pouring out his wrath. The blood just come off the mercy seat. That everybody's been covered with the blood. But then the blood comes off the mercy seat, and immediately the wrath of God begins to be poured out, and he heavens open. And out of this, the Bible said, came forth a great smoke. Have you ever watched the pictures of the atom bomb? How it just bursted out of nowhere. It said the whole heaven was dark in it. Now that's a symbol and a type. Because really, when the bottomless pit is open, it's a spiritual thing. And out of that spiritual bottomless pit comes demons that you can't see. John saw them because it was in a vision. But hundreds and thousands of demons are in the world today. Yeah. And the Bible said they come forth to destroy a third part of humanity. Diseases. All of these evil plagues. These epidemics. Satan causing tornadoes and wars. All of these things that are taking place. It's devils and demons that's been released from the bottomless pit. That's moving through the air like this. How do you remember the vision I had not too long ago? Like John looked up in the air and there was a herd of horsemen moving through the air. And these great horsemen was moving through the air. And the riders was extremely stern in their appearance. I noticed the lead rider. And he wouldn't look any direction. He just looked straight ahead with a real sternness like that. And they were strong, husky men. And as they moved through the air, I watched them. And all of a sudden, a broom light looked like came down the earth and just swept things clean like that. And a great whirlwind began to move. And after that, the tornadoes hit. And this thing that John saw, where he saw the horses in the vision. You don't see these things. But these things are moving at the command of Satan. Satan is the prince of the power of the earth. The Bible said that these vials was poured out here. That one poured his vial out in the air. Notice the smog that's moving in over the cities like New York. And they say that the air is so infiltrated that even the fallout that's coming back is going into the stream. And remember, the prediction was that the streams became bitter. And many men died of the rotten wormwood. And all this fallout, everything, it's killing out of humanity. Science can't keep them alive. Medical science can't do anything about it. Pour out the vials in the air, and the plagues are moving through. And look at all of these hippies that we have. These hell angels, long-haired people. I spoke of them here a few nights ago. Hair like women, face like men. And the Bible spoke of the steam, all typical. These needles, they're driving people crazy. Police can't do anything with them. Even little children are getting on dope. See, everything is just topsy-turvy, going crazy. Nobody can do anything anymore. The president can't do anything. The law can't do anything. Parents can't do anything. It's God that's upsetting humanity. It's the blood coming off of the mercy seat. And you haven't seen anything yet. See, the more that we have knowledge, the more that God requires us. And the less we seem to do. And the less that we seem to do, the more that God poured out his wrath. Because he said, to whom much is given, much is required. The thing that's going to bring the end of the world and bring the wrath of God on us is that we're going to come to a full knowledge of what we ought to do and the people are not going to do it. Just going to be a minority. But with this, the wrath of God is going to be poured out. Because Satan magnifies himself by knowledge. Yeah. He gets his strength by the knowledge of the law. And the more that you know, the more that you understand spiritual things, the bigger that booger, as you sometimes refer to him, becomes to you. Because he jumps out of nowhere. You understand what I mean? The darker the night gets, the more the little boys and girls get afraid. And want to get to mom and dad. A lot of these people that's running around, like we've got some that's coming here, that's went from house to house to call trouble, saying we don't need this and we don't have to look the flesh and we don't have to do that. Don't you listen to that. That's a lie of the devil. If you ever get anything from God, you're going to follow a fleshly human being. You might as well remember that. You can fast, you can stand on your head, you can listen to every preacher in the land. I'll tell you that you don't have to follow anybody, but when you get through, you're going to have to follow somebody. Amen. The Bible says, submit yourself one to another, and especially to the ministry, called these are those. wash over your soul as they that are responsible to God that have to give him to account or give him account to God, can present you there without spot, wrinkle, or blemish. There is no perfecting of the church without the fivefold ministry. God has sent the church a fivefold ministry to perfect the saints of God. And that's the only way that they're going to get perfected. And I made a statement so many times, if it does not take the fivefold ministry to perfect the saints of God, there's nothing less than a fool to set it in the church. He was nothing less than a fool to take a fivefold ministry and set it in the church for people to mock it and not do anything about it. God is no fool. But the Bible says the fool has said in his heart there's no God. God is no fool. God set a fivefold ministry in the church, and that fivefold ministry is for the perfecting of the saints, and if you ever get to God, you'll go through the fivefold ministry, or you'll never be perfected. I'd be nothing less than a fool if I instigated something in my daily operation that was absolutely not needful, that was going to cost me no telling what. You understand what I mean? The fivefold ministry cost his God and God's people millions of dollars. Did you know that? They take up money $30,000 and $40,000 a time for print, for television calls, for radio. I'd be a fool to instigate something like that if it wasn't necessary and put the people under a load and under bondage. So then it's going to take the fivefold ministry. You follow me? You're going to have to listen to somebody. In the 8th chapter, when this blood comes off the mercy seat, the wrath of God is immediately poured out of the earth. At the time that the wrath of God is poured out of the earth, all these plagues begin to hit. Now, I want you to notice this. It is not after the angel of Revelation 10 comes that the plagues are poured out. That's not in God. So I said Revelation 10 is Brother Brown. After that, then God will bring judgment. If that's true, then I'm a false prophet. Because, according to the Bible, in Revelation 8 is where God starts pouring out his plagues, not in Revelation 10. It's after Revelation 10 that the angel declares that the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our God.
Amen.
So then, it is in Revelation 8, when the blood comes off of the mercy seat, that the angel immediately takes the vial full of the wrath of God. He casts it into the earth because the blood covering is not there anymore. When it comes into the earth, then comes the earthquakes. Now, we've been having some earthquakes. How many of you know that? And the great earthquakes is predicted for the United States this year. Great earthquakes this year. Why? Because of what we're telling you right now. Knowledge is becoming great. And we're not obeying. We're not moving up. We're not doing what the Lord tells us to do. In Revelation 8, when the wrath of God begins to be poured out, it is then, my brother and sister, from that time on that the seven angels begin to sound and all the bottomless pit is open. All the plagues will be poured out and all the troubles start on the earth. The time we go to Revelation 10, where the mighty angel comes on the scene to announce the thunders, by that time we've had such a turmoil in the earth until you couldn't hardly live on. You follow me? Alright. Then, I want you to notice something here. That when Revelation 10 comes, and the seventh angel begins to sound, that is the last of the three woes. The last three trumpets of the seven are called the three woes. Woe, 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 and two of the woes have already been poured out of the earth even before Revelation 10 takes place. And then when Revelation 10 takes place, the last woe from the wrath of God is poured out. And when the last woe is poured out, then an angel declares that the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our God. If you'll notice that it as head spirit, the seventh angel sounds. Now, I want you to notice this. After that the seventh angel sounds, which is Revelation 10. Remember, the angel comes down of Revelation 10. And the angel of Revelation 10 tells John to eat the book. Then the thunders utter their voice. Then after the thunders utter their voice, it's at that time that the seventh angel begins to sound. Is that right? Alright, come on, study with me, man. Amen. Some of you tell me the way it is. If that's the way it is, I want you to stick with it. But if that ain't the way it is, I want you to listen to me. I said that after Revelation 10, it is after the angel announces the thunders, it is then, after that the thunders are revealed to John. Hear me? After that the thunders have been revealed to John, then the angel, the seventh angel, starts to sing. Is that clear? After he comes to the church. After somebody said, well, God can make John know what was in him. Well, he did let John know what was in him. John knew it well enough, he was fixing to write it, and he told him to seal it up. And he said, what are you trying to say? I'm trying to say that those seven thunders wasn't given to the world to start with. God didn't intend for the world to know the seven thunders. The seven thunders was something that was to be secretly made known to the church. That's why God let the angel of Revelation 10 make the interruption to come down there to give John the seven thunders before that last angel sounded. Because when that last angel sounded, it's all over. With the sounding of the last angel, the Bible says the mystery of God will be finished. That means that John, who is the church, has got to get those thunders before that seventh angel ever finishes his message.
Amen. Praise God.
It's got to be that way. Now, it is immediately after that John gets the thunders. When John gets the thunders, it is immediately after this, if you notice, the Bible said, then the seventh angel sounded. Then, as he sounded, the angel of God came forth and said, now it has come time to reward the prophets and all the great men of God and to give reward to the saints. And said, now the kingdom of this world have become the kingdom of our God.
Praise God.
I want you to notice something else. It also, after that the saints have sounded, now listen real close, it is after that this angel has sounded that the woman puts her foot on the moon.
Right, amen.
That really blew somebody off, that shot, didn't it? It's after that the angel sounds that the woman puts her foot on the moon. Now let's get this right tonight. How many believe that America is a woman nation? How many believe that this third dimensional setting, which is the Protestant age, has to type out the plan of God for the tribulation and for the Jews, which will take place immediately after the types are finished in this third dimensional thing? Is that right? Now you say, what's the need of us knowing anything about types and shadows? What's the need of you telling us about what's going to happen in the third dimension? What do we care about? Well, the Bible said we're not children of darkness. That is the card of mind, of education. But we're children of light. That means the revelation.
Amen.
And if you'd known what time the thief was going to come, you could have been prepared. God is going to let his saints. Somebody said, nobody will know. No, I don't ever think that now. God is going to let his saints know. So they can brush up, clean up. You say, I can't see that. before the dreadful day of the Lord that shall burn as an oven, that I will send you Elijah the prophet to turn the hearts of the children back to the fathers, and the hearts of the fathers back to the children, as I come and smite the earth with a curse. If he isn't going to warn the people so they can brush up, what does he want to send Elijah for? God don't want to pounce on his people. He knows they're a bunch of children and they get careless. He wants them to get on their P's and Q's, as the world says. He wants them to brush up. He don't want to curse them. That's why he's going to minister to them. The world will not know the children of darkness. They won't know. But he said, ye shall know this now, even at the door, see these things. So then, God sends us the revelation. Now look at it this way. How do you believe that Paul the Apostle was the revelator to the Gentile church? I will say this again. God would be foolish if he sent a revelator to the church when there was no need of a revelation. God would be foolish if he sent a great man like Paul the Apostle to tell us about a great revelation if there was no need for us to know it. Why take up so much time to learn? Paul preached all night long. Why did he preach all night long to the people? He didn't even have to have a tornado to get them to say all night long. Priests. They listen. Now, why did God send Paul the revelator? Because it was needed. Why was it needed? Because God was going to conquer death by revelation. He was going to bring us to a place in the mind of God to where men would not die. Alright, listen. The church world would have you believe that all you got to do is be born again, get the Holy Ghost. How do you know you're just getting started when you get the Holy Ghost? The Bible says you'll guide you to all truth and righteousness. It's supposed to bring you to sonship. You're just getting ready for the twos when you get the Holy Ghost. Somebody said, well, I thought I was really ready to go. No, you're just getting ready for sonship. The church world would have you to know or believe that all you got to do is just be born again and wait around for rapture. But brothers and sisters, before the living God, I tell you the truth, I lie not, Paul said, my conscience bearing witness in the Holy Ghost, that that's not true. You're going to have to perfect yourself and save yourself from this unregeneration to as many as believe unto them being the power to become the sons of God. Did you know that the rapture, as we call it, when I say that, there's no such thing as the rapture, there is no Bible teaching for the word rapture as a man-made doctrine, as a man-made idea or something they instigated. There's no such word as a millennium in the Bible. There's no such word as rapture in the Bible. Paul says we're changed from glory to glory. That's just what the church world referred to because the word rapture gets called away. And a lot of times when you don't use biblical terminology, it can deceive a whole world. And that word is just about done it the way that they hear it. But I want you to listen now. The rapture, as we refer to it, Thessalonians change in a moment, but believe it or not, it cannot come. It is impossible for the rapture to take place until we mature into sonship. Now somebody would doubt that. They'd say, Brother Pike, the rapture's going to come. God's got an appointed time. It's going to come. That's going to be it. He's got an appointed time, all right. But that appointed time is when you come into sonship. It is impossible for the rapture to take place until you come into sonship. There's no way. Adam was the man in the garden, and the garden belongs to Adam. God perfects man, but man perfects his surroundings. God made man, but man was what got his surroundings in a mess. The earth is not waiting for the manifestation of God. The earth is groaning and waiting for its owner, which is the sons of God, to set the government upright, to clean the thing up. that death is conquered, it is then that the saints of God can get up out of the grave. But those might dead lay in the grave that's dead tonight. Your mother, your loved one, they can't get up out of that grave until the church conquers death. I know you don't believe it, but it's absolutely thus saith the Lord. You'll never do it. They can't get up. The church has got to conquer death. When the church conquers death, the Bible said immediately the dead in Christ shall rise first. Is that right? The very minute that death is conquered, then those that are in the grave are at last freed from the bondage of death and they come out. When we, as Paul said, went redemption of our body, that means we will have conquered it. We will at last have mastered the situation. At last finished the revelation. At last perfected the mind of Christ within us, which is the full benefits of hell. And with that, change the mortal body into immortality, and with that, it will signify that the dead bodies are redeemed, and out will come, and up will go together.
Hallelujah.
That's the truth.
Hallelujah.
In Revelation 10, the angel sings, and I'm going to close here in just a few minutes, and this is going to go to some time. I kind of scared you all about this, and I told you it's going to hold at 1 o'clock. But some of them will stay here at 1 o'clock.
Praise God. Amen.
But notice this. That in Revelation 10 comes the thunders. Brother Brown said one time that the secret of the rapture was in the thunders. Here's something that I don't understand. I never have understood it, and I never will understand it. They say that when Brother Brown come that the mysteries was finished. They breathed and they finished the mysteries. Now, of course, the Bible said when the mysteries of God are finished, that the kingdoms of this world will become the kingdom of God. Sorry. We're 7 or 8 years this side of Brother Brown's day. The world's still going on. But I got a feeling that when this message is finished, it won't be going on. No. And you say, well, I differ with you. Well, that's your opportunity. That's something that you can do if you want to differ. That's all right. But I'll tell you what, a good way to find out if a fellow's telling you the truth is to wait and see.
Yeah.
If it comes out like he says, you know when he tells you the truth. If it don't, you know he's a liar. But they say that Brother Brown finished the mission. I don't believe that. I just make a flat, blank statement. I don't believe that. But I will tell you this. If he did finish the mysteries, give him the benefit of the doubt, and then believe that. If he did finish the mysteries of God, why was it the angel of Revelation 10 said, John, still up the thunders. And in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, the mysteries of God will be finished. When Brother Branham stated himself that he saw the thunders, but he saw them in an unknown language and could not tell what they were. If the mysteries of God is in the thunder, or if the thunder is the mystery of God, and Brother Branham saw it in an unknown language and did not tell what it was, how did he finish the mysteries? And you come up with the answer, don't you come and tell me. It is a positive fact that in Revelation 10, the angel of God gave the book to John. He ate the whole book. And he said, what do you think that book was, Brother Pye? I believe that was the same book that was over in the book of Revelation that the angel could not take from the hands of him that sat on the throne. I believe it's the same book.
Amen.
That was sealed with the seven seals.
Yes.
And you'll notice that that book was not offered to John until after the seals were loose. I made a statement, I got a teaching here somewhere on it, that that book was the beads that was sealed. that this book that nobody else could redeem, that was lost in the hands of Satan, that right to heaven or rather to the earth, the right of that which God has sealed with the seven seals right here, which I said with the church is. Maybe you don't understand it either. Oh, God, I'll take some more. The book was sealed with the seven church ages, which were the seals of it. And I said it was loose when the Ancient of Days gave it to the Lamb. And the Lamb took the book. He was the only one worthy to redeem the earth, or to take the beam and open it up and present it back to the Adam which it lost. He was found worthy to come forth and to take the deeds as ownership, to loose the seals of it and bring the church age messages out in it for the finishing of the mission of God, which is absolutely nothing less than the seal of knowledge of God that translates man back into his garden condition. When the deed was lost, when the straight book was lost, it was the knowledge of God that had to do with man being in the Shekinah glory of God. When it was lost, it was sealed up. Nobody could get to it. God sealed it because Satan had cut man off from it. A flaming sword put there at the gate of the garden where nobody could go back in. But that flaming sword, here, once you see the flaming sword here, Calvary, which is the blood, the flaming sword, nobody could get past it. The Bible speaks about his mouth come up to a sword, the flaming sword. Hear the word of God. Nobody can get into the knowledge of this mind of the garden until they go by the word, which is the flaming sword. That's the ministry. Because he said, I make my ministry the flame of fire. Amen. You have to put me through it, through the perfection. If this book that was sealed with the seven seals, it contained the knowledge of the mysteries of God that began at Calvary and did not finish until the end of the church ages. And at the end of the church ages, the mystery was finished, and the child was called back up to the throne and went back into the land which is the God. Is that right? It was the sealed knowledge of God for the translation which Paul the Apostle had.
Amen.
And nobody could give but the Lord Jesus. Nobody could lose those seals. But the Lord Jesus, is that right? When are they loose? They are loose after the church ages. Is that right? The mystery is loose. How? By the thunders, the seven thunders. It's the knowledge of God that's in the seven seals. Here, it's loose. That's why Brother Branham, at the end of the church ages, came on the scene and told the people, in so many words, that he had opened the seven seals. Is that right? But it's a true thing that nobody could get that knowledge except the preordained of God, the predestined. As far as opening the seven seals to the world, there would have been no way that the world could have understood those seals. There is no way. Because the Bible teaches that they that be evil shall not see when good comes.
Right.
And that is good that is hid within those seals. There is no way. We are children of light, not of darkness, from the mind of Christ. We understand, we know. But 10th, in the 10th chapter of Revelation, Revelation 10, when this angel sounds, I want you to notice this. When this angel sounds, all of a sudden the woman, remember at this time, has got her foot on the moon. That's why I say that we're living in a very critical hour. The types and shadows are coming to a close. How many believe in types and shadows? A lot of people say, what's types and shadows got to do with the revelation? Paul was a revelator. He taught the revelation. He taught it by types and shadows. Allegories. You say, prove it. said in the Old Testament, he spoke of Hagar, said she's a type of old Jerusalem. He spoke of Sarah, said she's a type of heavenly Jerusalem. He said, which things are types and shadows of allegories? Is that right? It's types and shadows of allegories. God hiding himself in types and shadows to reveal himself to us and become the life of the Lord. So much. That's why we wrote Spiritual Congress, to help turn back a few of these things to where you can understand what we're saying. It's no wonder that somebody had a vision that wrote a book that brought them action. Because Spiritual Congress will bring you action. Show me where they went around in the grave and called the dead out. Somebody said, well, Brother Pike, don't you believe they resurrected the dead? They certainly did. But there's a difference in what he's putting in the grave. It signifies a different thing. If you want to resurrect any dead, you better catch them before they get them in the grave. Unless you've got to that certain place. Now, you got all these ministers come through. Like I talked to one here the other day, he come through. I gave him a little offer to help him. I'm trying to do whatever I can. But he's telling about the people he resurrected from the dead. But I noticed everyone that tells him about resurrecting from the dead, it's always them that's never been involved when they ever put them in the grave. Now you say, don't you believe they're resurrected from the dead? Yes, I really do. I really believe that they do. But the thing is, I'm talking about something altogether different. And I'm going to try to close you. There's a lot more things y'all want to get into, but I don't know. I'm losing some interest, some of you's interest out there. And it'd be better to just go ahead and close at this point. There's a lot of things I'd like to say. But I know you're tired, and I'm tired too. But I want you to notice something tonight in closing here. I tell you the truth before God because I love you. You will not go in the rapture if you don't get the revelation. Now you say, Brother Pike, you mean to tell me all these people that don't get the revelation ain't going to go in the rapture? I mean to tell you just exactly that. You say, what about all these little children and these young people that ain't grown up into it? God won't require it of them. He requires the knowledge, according to the knowledge, according to the age, according to the time that you've had to listen. He'll require it of you, every bit of it. Every hour that you've had to spend before ministry, he'll require it of you. And the Bible said you'll give an account for every deed that you ever done, whether it was a good deed or a bad deed. From the time you came in this world, you'll give an account for every deed that you've done in the body. The Bible said that God will judge the secrets of your heart, and every thought and every intent of the heart will be brought into the judgment. See, God will require it of you. Those that have not had the opportunity, God will not require it of them. That is to say, the youth that hasn't come to that place. But I'm going to tell you, the way we judge youth, God doesn't judge it that way. Kids are learning from the time they're 5 and 6 years old in kindergarten and in school. And they're learning things. Jesus at 12 years old was about his father's business. So God requires an early maturity. You better believe it, especially in the day of knowledge that we're living in. And the Spirit of God, the Bible said, shall be upon him and make him of a quick understanding. If you got the Spirit of God, it'll make you of a quick understanding anyway. But God is going to require it of you. And them that died back yonder in their dispensation, they did not learn what you're going to have to learn. Somebody said, well, don't you believe they'll go in the rapture? I believe they'll go in the rapture. I sure do. You say, well, why would God take them in the rapture and then make us learn the revelation, or else he wouldn't take us in the rapture? The simple reason is because they had to pay the penalty of death before they could go in the rapture. And these that are living will not see death. But their reward for learning will be that they won't die or feel the sting of death. They can't die because the tribulation period will set in, and if they don't go in the rapture, they can't die. Men will seek death and won't be able to die. They can't die. They've got to come to a knowledge to be changed. They won't have an opportunity to die. And they've got to be changed, and if they're not changed, they'll go right into the tribulation period. So if you are not trying to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus,
to move up. My brother and sister, quit worrying about daddy and mother and grandma and grandpa and what they got and what you think they'll get in on, and start remembering that you're in a new day, a new generation, a new stage of knowledge, and God will require of you this age and what He's revealed. I'm going to say this. I believe, as I said the other night, in the blessed places. We were speaking of this today. And this has really been a decoy to some people. I believe in the blessed areas. I believe God blesses places. Said Moses, this is holy ground. I believe this is a blessed area right here. God may take it away in an earthquake, take it away in a tornado, but it's still a blessed place. He said, whatever you bless, I'll bless it. And I'll bless this place. And He'll bless it. But I want to tell you something. There is no blessed areas by individual through the tribulation. You might as well get that out of your mind. When the locusts and everything are turned loose, there will be no blessed areas. Probably the Valley of Petra, as far as we can learn, where God will tutor the Jews. The Bible said the land of Ammon and Moab shall escape. That's all. It says this is all that will escape from the hands of the Antichrist. And that's because He's got that preserved for the Jews. But let me tell you something. There's no place that you can run to under my ministry, Brother David Terrell's ministry, or Brother Shambach's ministry, or anybody else's ministry during the tribulation period. I advise you to get out of here. I advise you to come to the translation and be translated and not mess around with these ideas. Brother Terrell is following a good pattern of revelation, a type of the woman fleeing into the wilderness, which is good because he has to follow that place. He believes that the people go through the tribulation. And I'm not trying to be contrary to him. I'm just trying to preach the gospel and keep people from getting tangled up. There will be no blessed places through the tribulation areas or time. So you might as well forget about it. There's no such Bible. There's no such teaching. And it will not be. Now, if you want to get out here and get you a little spot of ground, or go with Brother Terrell or me or anybody else to plant you a patch to where you can have something to eat when the famines and different things hit, that's good and well. But I'm speaking of the tribulation period of having safety from it. There is no such. So don't get decoyed away. I'd like you to stand with me.